Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, What the Hack?, where we give our best tips for everything from potty time to cleanup time to me time. And we close with our BFPs and BFNs for the week. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is episode 180.
Fireworks, fireworks.
We've gone halfway around a circle, Shauna.
I know. Oh, my gosh.
So I want to hear about it. What's going on with you this week? This 180th week we've checked in with each other.
That's a lot of weeks to have conversations about our lives. It's pretty cool.
It really is. I like it. I love it.
Me too. Well, this week I have some great news.
Ooh, good. Okay.
Yeah. So Elle, my daughter, is 5 years old, going on 6. And this week she got her COVID shot. Yay!
Oh my God.
Her first one. I have been waiting so long for this, right? Because the adults were allowed to get vaccinated way back at the beginning of the year. And it's just been like, when are the kids? When are the kids going to be able to do it? Of course, Cece's still not eligible. They don't have one for her. But they did release the 5 to 11-year-olds. And like the day it was approved, I went online and made an appointment at CVS. And that happened this week. So we're feeling very good about that.
How was she with the shot? Because, you know, kids are not big fans of shots in general, I feel like.
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, Steve took her to get the shot and he recorded a voice memo of the experience. Do you want to listen to it?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Okay. First, I'm going to open your arm. Then I'm going to clean with the Vibe. Do you want to touch it?
She just means she's going to pull your sleeve up.
Yeah. Or you can do it like this.
So that's the pharmacist who is going to give her a shot.
Like this? Okay.
It smells weird.
Yeah, it smells alcohol. Mm-hmm.
It's to clean your skin before the needle goes in.
Okay. So.
There you go.
It is little, very little. I have to go there.
Oh, sure.
You can come from front. Okay, so I'm going to clean first.
Do you want to look at me or do you want to watch it go in?
Then I'm going to hold your arm.
Look
just relax, please.
Honey, it's okay. You've done lots of shots before.
Yeah, of course. And then later you are going to get your sticker too. Just
and
relax
these?
Your arm. Oh, yeah.
Tell me what.
Oh my God, you have lots of toys.
What do you want to name this?
Fluffle.
Fluffle, that's a great name.
Okay.
It. Done.
Oh my God.
Yay.
That didn't even hurt. It hurt a little and then boom.
See?
I didn't even say, yeah,
because
I didn't even cry.
No, it's much scarier actually thinking about it. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even cry.
I couldn't believe it when he played that for me. I was just like, what? It happened so fast. And like, I was so impressed that it didn't hurt her anything. So she did great. She was really brave. And Steve bought her a bunch of bravery toys at CVS afterward, like a balloon and little stuffed animals she came home with. So we were very proud of her.
Based on social media of all my friends with kids who are 5 and up, this like approval of the COVID vaccine for younger kids has been a real boon to drugstore toy sales, right?
Yeah, I can't remember the last time we bought toys at a drugstore. So this yeah, that's the perfect occasion.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's Big Toy trying to push these these vaccines through. Like, we're going to get all the kids, all the guilt, all the parents are going to be like buying balloons and shit. Get them in.
Get them in there. They're going to buy so many stuffed animals with shimmery, huge eyes. Yeah, it's a racket. That's what it is.
Yeah. No, all jokes aside, like, I'm so happy she could get the vaccine. And I'm so glad you guys took her to get it right away. And she was such a champ. I feel like we need to hear more from her on this podcast. I loved hearing her voice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm sure she would love to talk your ear off about anything and everything. So maybe I'll invite her on one day. Maybe for the 200th episode. I don't know. Who knows?
We should have the kids on for the 200th episode.
Oh, my God. I love that idea. Okay. Sounds great.
That sounds really fun. Okay. You got 20 episodes, listeners, and we've got 20 episodes to prepare. All right. So You got the shot. Did she have any side effects or was she okay?
So she did get a sore arm for a day, but other than that, she was fine. Like,
great.
She had no other side effects. So yeah, she did great. And that's what I've been hearing from a lot of parents, people I know. It's like they're kind of not having too many side effects from it. So, but she, you know, she's going to get her second one in a few weeks. So we'll see about that one too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was one thing. Here's the other little check-in I was going to talk about this week. Mm-hmm. I went to the park alone with the girls recently, and we were having a good time playing on the playground, had a little picnic snack, and we were back on the playground, and all of a sudden, two adults at the park, one a grown man, maybe in his 20s, another one, a woman on a bike, maybe in her 30s or so.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't tell if they knew each other really. I'm not sure, but regardless, they started screaming at each other. Like,
what?
I heard some yelling behind like the community center building. And so I stepped over there to see what was going on. And I saw these two people just like yelling at each other at the top of their lungs. It was like, why can't I go to the store with you? And she's like, you can, but I'm on my bike and you're walking. And he's like, well, fuck you. And they start screaming at each other and coming towards the playground.
Oh, boy.
And I know, mama bear instinct kicks in. I'm just like, you know, I want to clear out of here. Plus, we've been at the park long enough. Two screaming adults at each other at a park. It just feels uncertain, unstable. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going to happen. So I'm like, all right, girls, let's go. And I'm ushering them to the car. And they're like lollygagging, like, why? Why do we have to go? And I pick up Cece, and she's like scrambling out of my arms and starts crying. And Elle is being really stubborn and like sitting in the sand and playing with sand instead of leaving. And I was like, come on, we are leaving now. Like, everyone, all the parents are starting to clear out of the playground at this point because it just feels unsafe. And we finally get to the car, and they're just so mad at me and upset and so confused as to why I'm doing this. And as I'm getting in the car, they're in the parking lot now, these two people screaming at each other, and this guy starts running down the parking lot at yelling at nobody at this point. He's like, watch out, everybody, I've got a pedophile to catch. Watch out, I'm on his track. And I'm just like, oh my God,
what?
Girls, get in the car, get in the car. And it's just like navigating that kind of situation around your young kids is tough and confusing, you know, especially for Elle, because she's old enough to really like ask questions about what's going on and stuff. And so we're in the car, and she's just like, why did we have to leave? Why did you do that? And I was like, I was not feeling safe around, you know, that situation, and I wanted to leave. And she was like, why? What was wrong with that guy? Why wasn't he respecting that lady's body boundaries?
And oh my God, amazing.
I know, right? And I'm like, I don't know, honey. I don't know for sure. And like, in my mind, I'm like thinking he probably has some kind of mental illness, right? At the point where he was yelling and screaming at nobody about a pedophile, I was pretty certain there was something going on. And so I'm just like, well, honey, I don't think he was well. I think, you know, he might be sick. And she was like, sick? How is he sick? So I'm like, you know, I think he might be maybe mentally ill. And so now I'm like broaching the topic of mental illness, and she's like not fully grasping that and stuff. And she kind of like accepts my explanation. But then we're driving home, and she's like, mama, you really bossed me around at the park.
Oh.
I was like, she's like, I didn't like when you bossed me. And she has said this to me before, like once, one other time at home when the girls really like made a huge mess when I'd asked them not to or something like that. And I was like, girls, get over here and clean this up, you know. And she accuses me of bossing her around. And of course, in my mind, I'm like, I'm your mom. Like, I'm allowed to boss you around, you know?
Yeah, it's like, but anyone in the world is allowed to be bossy. It's like a mom with her kids, right?
Exactly. I was like, I'm way too nice, like 99% of the time. And like the one time I try to be assertive, she like accuses me of bossing her around. And I was like, listen, honey, I know that you probably didn't like the way I was talking to you, but in that situation, it was important for me to take charge and be firm. And that's what I had to do. And she was like, okay, like kind of understanding more. And I'm like, I'm your mom. Mm-hmm. When I feel like there's a situation that we need safety, I'm going to take charge. And I was really trying to reframe it as like taking charge and being firm, mm-hmm. and not like bossing her around for the sake of bossing her around. So it was just all over, just an odd experience and a weird opportunity to talk about a few different things that kind of came out of left field.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you did a pretty good job. I would have done the same thing, like scooped them up and gotten out of there because, you know, I get accused of being paranoid and overly worried about things. And I'm conscious of that. And I know that sometimes I might be overly worried about things that are not actually a threat. But there's something about being a mom out in the world, and you just have that you really do just have that protective instinct where it's just like something switches in your brain and you're just like, must protect offspring, like we'll do whatever necessary to protect them. And so I think you did a great job. It's so funny that she brought that up though, because Augie's been doing something similar. Like the other day I picked him up from school, and he didn't want to get in the car seat, right? And he was like doing his thing where he was playing around, and I had to kind of be firm with him too and put him in. And he goes, why do you always say no? You always say no. I don't like it when you say no.
Oh, no.
I'm like, kid, come on. Give me a fucking break, all right?
Right? Oh, my God. But then it also, like, gets at me, too. I'm like, well, maybe I am too bossy. Or I'd be like, well, maybe say no too much. Like,
Yeah, no. Then you do not say no too much. I don't think so. You've got them a fucking bounce house. Like, it's okay.
Right, exactly. I'm allowed to be firm sometimes. And the other thing about that situation is it's not even just that I felt like personally not safe, like those people would do anything to us. I just didn't want to expose my kids to that. Like it felt toxic. They were cursing and screaming at each other. And like, I didn't know if they were going to hurt each other. Like I didn't want to stick around for my kids to witness that kind of conflict. So that's like another reason we got out of Dodge.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you did good. And, you know, everything's a learning experience, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. On a big old learning journey here in parenthood. Anyway, that's our big week. How about you guys? How are you doing?
We're good. Yeah. So I actually don't have a ton to check in about this week. We kind of had a little bit of a busy week because our nanny Eliza was actually out for a couple days this week because she was starting to have some arm pain and needed to take care of that and couldn't really like hold the kids. And so, you know, obviously we wanted her to stay home and rest and get better. And in addition to that, Augie didn't have school one of his 2 days a week that he has school because of Veterans Day.
Right. So, oh, yes.
So it was like a double whammy. But in the end, it ended up being like pretty fun because we got to spend some extra time together. And I have to say that there's something that's like switched recently, like changed with Augie, that he's like gone through kind of a rough patch of like getting used to school and the move and all this stuff and just having a lot of like clingy, whiny, big feelings, right? With me that I talked about a ton lately.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden it seems like he's kind of coming out of that and it feels like he's kind of like emerging into a new plane of existence, at least temporarily.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's hard to really put your finger on, but I was talking to Corey about this and we realized that like he's just stopped having those big meltdowns completely, like all the time, you know, about every little thing. And he's suddenly like being super sweet. Like he's always been sweet, but like super sweet and affectionate. Like he wants to walk up and give you kisses and like you leave the room and he goes, I love you. And I say, I love you too. And he goes, I love you too.
No, it's the best.
So sweet. And he's super affectionate with his brother. Like he'll just walk over and just give him kisses just out of the blue, which is just heartwarming, right? Like just so wonderful to see. And then, so in addition to being sweet, like I had talked about how he's like participating in circle time, right?
Mm-hmm.
At my gym and like being more participatory. So I think that's all linked together. So it's just been a very sweet week. Actually, let me send you this picture of a a little demonstration of how sweet he's being. I'm just going to send you a melange of photos from this week.
Oh, him and his little brother, so sweet together. He's looking at Sebastian so lovingly and giving him a big kiss. Oh, that's really sweet.
It's so sweet. And then that last picture where like he's giving him a kiss, he was riding on this like ride-on toy that he's way too big for, to be honest. And Sebastian was like pushing it from behind. So they were like collaboratively playing.
Yes.
It's just the best. It's like everything you ever wanted with the sibling. I'm just, I'm melting. It's so cute.
It's so sweet. It's so great. You know, it's awesome that he's coming out of that kind of phase. And I feel like it's really telling of how transitions can affect our kids. Like he had the big transition of starting preschool and his schedule changing and all that stuff. And like he's used to it now and he's coming out of it. And I feel like Cece's starting to do that a little bit too. Like she had a big change when Elle went to school, right? Her buddy was gone and she's just been extra clingy lately. And I am seeing signs of her maybe starting to emerge from that too. So that's really great.
Yeah, I wonder if it's an age thing or just like a situational thing, you know?
Yeah, could be a combo of both.
Could be a combo, yeah. Because it reminded me of like leaps, you know, Wonder Week style leaps. Like he's gone through a leap. Because another thing that I noticed is that he's suddenly really into stories. And I'm not talking about like reading books, like he likes books. But when I like tell him something that happened, he now wants me to like repeat the story back to him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, when grandma got locked out of the house and needed to sleep in the car.
Oh, yeah. Poor grandma.
Poor grandma. So he'll say, will you tell me that story again? Like over and over about different things. Will you tell me that again? Tell it to me again? Like over and over. So it's, I don't know, it all seems connected.
Yeah.
And I will say that it also seems connected to the fact that he is now sleeping better.
Oh, true. Mm-hmm.
Because the Annoy Augie campaign, the 10 o'clock Annoy Augie so that he gets out of his deep sleep cycle and resets, is working super well. And he's now finally getting rested, I think.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Well, one thing that can make our kids cranky and needy and clingy and whiny is not enough sleep, for sure.
Does that to me. So I can see how it can do it to them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's basically my check-in for this week. Augie is just being like super sweet and wonderful and lovely to be around. And Sebastian's just like enjoying it. Like he's just basking in the glow of his brother.
Yeah.
And other than that, like we don't have any, you know, no one got locked out of the house. No one had to sleep in the garage.
Good.
Phew. Yeah. So yeah, that's it for my check-in this week. Do you want to come back with our special segment?
Indeed. Laura, I don't know about you, but I feel like my skin has gone through lots of changes since pregnancy and parenthood.
Oh, for sure. Our skin goes through a lot during different stages of life, whether that's melasma, dry skin, hormonal acne, or what I like to call too exhausted at the end of the day to do a skincare routine skin.
I hear ya. Well, luckily, our sponsor, OneSkin, has a simple skincare routine that even sleep-deprived parents can handle.
I've been using the topical face and eye creams, and not only is it an easy routine, it makes my skin feel healthy and refreshed.
You have been rocking that glowy look lately.
Aw, thank you. Founded by an all-woman team of scientists, OneSkin has developed a proprietary peptide called OS1 that's scientifically validated to improve the health of your skin beneath the surface.
Not only that, their products are backed by extensive lab and clinical data to validate their efficacy and safety for use at any stage in life.
For a limited time, you can try OneSkin for 15% off using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and as a busy mom, I admit I sometimes forget to prioritize my mental health. But when I do, I feel so much better. And I've realized that a big part of my mental health is finding support through my community.
Absolutely. It's easy to feel stuck in my routine or cancel plans when leaving the house and the kids feels overwhelming. But I've discovered I can find community
Allo
and support for my mental health with
award-winning on-demand streaming wellness platform app that has mindfulness, self-care, workouts, and more to help boost your mental and physical well-being.
When I make time for movement and mindfulness, even if it's just for a few minutes, it has such a positive impact on my day. And I love that I can connect with other users in the Allo Moves community to support and encourage each other.
Whether I'm taking a class with a friend in person or connecting with another member in the community comments, Allo Moves really brings people together. We're all just trying to find ourselves because we're all in it together.
With over 100 new classes every month, Allo Moves keeps me motivated and supported. I absolutely love the mindfulness classes. Taking time to focus on my breath and body in the present moment does so much for my well-being all day.
And when I need an energy pick-me-up before diving into the day, I love doing a 15-minute Pilates class to focus my mind and get my blood pumping.
Find yourself together when you join Allo Moves. Join the community on allomoves.com today and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial, plus enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com code BFP for 30-day free trial, plus 20% off an annual membership. allomoves.com code BFP.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Sometimes I just have a week, you know, where work and parenting and keeping up with the house all feels so overwhelming, and I just need to vent about it and get it off my chest. It's amazing how just expressing it out loud can relieve a lot of tension that has built up. We all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. I have worked through many difficult situations in therapy. It's such a great way to get perspective on your experience and learn techniques to help you cope in the moment when things get tough. If you're feeling overwhelmed, down, or stressed and would like to talk to a therapist, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, which means no driving across town to appointments, and you can easily make it work with your schedule. To get started, just fill out a quick questionnaire and you'll get matched with a therapist. If it doesn't feel like a perfect fit, you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/BFP. We're back, and this week's special segment is What the Hack, where we share our favorite mom hacks with you. So, Laura, you're up first. What's your first mom hack for us?
Okay, my first mom hack is bubble gloves.
What? What are bubble gloves?
It's what you tell your child to make when they're washing their hands.
Oh.
So I learned this from my alumni mom's Facebook group. Like my college has an alumni mom's group, and it's like the best place ever. I love it. This mm-hmm. is my favorite place on the internet. And just randomly in a comment, someone was like, oh, when I'm trying to get my kid to wash their hands, I tell them to make bubble gloves, and that's worked really well. And I was like, willing to try that. So I was like, I'm going to try that with Augie. So I took him to the sink to wash our hands one day, and he used to like it. Now he's like, doesn't want to stop playing, doesn't want to wash his hands, like just doesn't want to get into it. And it's been a struggle lately. So I was like, oh, we're going to go to the sink and we're going to make bubble gloves. And he was like, bubble gloves? Like he was very excited by it. And so we went and we put his hands under the water, and then I gave him soap. And I was like, okay, you have to cover your whole hand in bubbles so it looks like you have bubble gloves. And he got so into it. And now he's like happy to wash his hands again because he wants to make bubble gloves. So
yes,
there you go.
Brilliant. Do they take too long at the sink then? I feel like my girls would be like, that's going to be our activity for the next hour.
I do have to force the end, but I have to say that like I'll take 40 seconds to a minute of hand washing versus 0 seconds of hand washing.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be like, I'm all done. You know, he'd barely get his hands wet. I'm all done. So now at least you get that full 20 seconds in or whatever they tell you need to do. So
cool. That's a great tip.
So that's my first one. How about you? What's your first mom hack?
So I learned this one from Elle's school nurse. Remember back when Elle smacked her head while running around like a dog and got a laceration mm-hmm. on her head and had to go pick her up, take her to urgent care? Well, when I went to pick her up, I met with the nurse who had been taking care of her, and she had an ice pack for the back of her head. But what it was a dish sponge that they put in water and then put in a plastic baggie and then put in the freezer. And that's how they make ice packs at her school. Oh. So when it starts to cool down, it becomes flexible, you know, but it's still cold and easy to hold on to injuries on your body. And I thought that was so smart. So I'm totally stealing that tip.
Oh, that is genius. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Sponge ice packs.
It's much better than using a bag of frozen peas, which we sometimes do. And then like the peas start to defrost and then you're like, well, I don't want to eat these peas now. And it's a whole thing. Mm-hmm. So a sponge, it can defrost and you can throw it back in there.
All right. I'm stealing that too.
All right. So what do you have next for us?
Okay. So this is actually another thing that I was tipped off to through my alumni group. It comes from a Twitter user at Opal Nova. And here's the tweet. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
If you are a parent to a child under school age, do yourself a favor right now and just set up a separate email address for school stuff. Even filtering school emails is not a productive way to manage them. You will thank me later.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, yeah. I should have like a separate email address for anything school related so that like Corey and I can both look at it and we don't have to have it like littering up our inbox. And like it just seems like I should do this now.
Right.
And not have to worry about it in the future. So I haven't done it yet, but I plan to.
So would it be a specific school account or would it be a personal account for the child that they would end up using down the line? Like, is it Beric Evett school account at gmail.com or what are you
thinking? That's a good question. I don't know. I was kind of thinking of just doing like AugieSchool@laurabeerick.com or something, like using one of my domains already and just doing it that way. But maybe having it be like AugieEvett@gmail.com or whatever, you know, and then like he can adopt it later. Although maybe that's setting him up for spam in the future. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how it all works. Elle got her first email account through her school. Like she has an official school email account, which I've never looked in. I don't even know what she's getting in there. And I do know Steve set up an email address for her when she was born, first name, last name, at gmail.com. So I guess she'll get that someday if she wants it.
I set up a domain and a email for Augie when he was first born. And I do not remember what they were. Like, I like literally do not remember what I got because I couldn't just get his first name, last name because it was taken. And it was probably part of my undiagnosed postpartum anxiety. I was like, he needs a domain name. He needs an email. Someone's going to take it and he's going to be so mad. And so I like did it at 2 a.m. probably while I was nursing little like 3 week old Augie.
Oh,
and yeah,
God.
It's lost to my memory. So we'll see if I can ever retrieve that.
I hope so.
Okay, so that's my next one. Shauna, let's hear another one.
Okay, here's my next one.
Okay.
Taking a young child, 2-3-year-old, to the bathroom in public is tricky sometimes, right? Cece, she's potty trained, but she's intimidated by big toilets in public because at home she uses like a little potty seat on top and we don't always have that with us. And a solution we discovered is that if I sit on the toilet seat, like if, you know, just in my clothes, like I'll just put the cover down on it and I'll sit on the toilet and back up a little bit. And then she sits in front of me. It makes a small enough space in the toilet that she feels comfortable sitting on it. So she's not over this gaping hole, but it's still enough space for her to go pee. And she feels safe. I can kind of hold her from behind and she does her business and feels safe and hops off and she's all done. And then you don't have to carry like a toddler potty seat with you anywhere.
Yeah, that's a good tip. We're probably going to start potty training again. Or I don't even know what you call it when like he's trained. He just doesn't use the potty. Like, so like just enforced no diapers at some point soon. But the public toilet thing is a little scary. So it's kind of like riding a motorcycle, a poop motorcycle.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. Less exciting, less thrilling.
Less exciting. Yes. Or, I mean, whatever you're into, man.
Hey, whatever. All right. So what do you have for us?
Okay. This is another getting toddlers to do things they don't want to do hack. And it's something I learned, I think, probably either from Janet Lansbury or Dr. Becky or one of the similar Instagram accounts I follow. But I know that for Augie, it's really hard to get him to clean up. Like if he's playing in his playroom and everything's a mess and I say, let's clean up, his instinct is like to say no. He's like, no, you do it. I'm like, okay, the point is for us to do it together. So I heard this tip somewhere. I don't remember the source exactly, but it's like some kind of peaceful or gentle or respectful parenting person, is that instead of saying, let's clean up, you give them a very specific task. Like you say, can you pick up a book and bring it to me? Instead of like, let's clean up the books. Because apparently little toddler brains, if you say clean up, they're like too, they don't know what it means. Like it's too many steps, right? It's
right.
Like, to us, we say, okay, let's clean up. And we scan the room. We see what's out of place. We say, those books, that trash, these toys, they're out of place. What do we do next? We need to go over to them. We need to pick them up. We need to walk them to their place. The books go in the bookshelf. The toys go in the toy bin. The trash goes in the trash can. And we know how to do all this like sequence of events because we're adults and we've been doing this our whole lives. But they don't. They don't get it. Like, they don't know. When we say clean up, it's so overwhelming to them that they don't want to do it. So the hack is say, please pick up a book and bring it to me. Or can you pick up that piece of trash and take it to the garbage can? So like giving them very specific tasks. And I've found that that works really, really well and actually gets them to help clean up. So
Oh cool, yeah, I love that idea. Definitely gonna have to try that here, because the kids' involvement in cleaning up at this house is real low, like real low. We gotta step it up.
I have to say that we need to step it up too. Like I remember every once in a while and I'm like, oh yeah, that's a skill I'd like to teach him. But most of the time we're just like, playroom's a complete disaster, who cares? Let's just go. Like,
I just end up doing it myself and then I'm like, ugh, get tired of cleaning. So yeah, it'd be nice to involve them as well.
Yeah. Okay, what's next? What do you have?
My next one came from a thread in a mom's group about playing with our kids. Often in my mom's groups over the years, there's always pops up a discussion about how it's really not that fun to play with your kids often. It sounds so sad. I could not understand it before I had kids of my own. I was just like, how can anyone not want to play with their adorable little children? And now that I'm a mom and I have a million things going on, like the thought for an hour imagining playing Paw Patrol or whatever. Yeah, it gets a little tiring sometimes. So this one mom chimed in with an idea that I thought was really interesting to encourage independent play for kids. And she said that what she'll do sometimes is take a specific toy and set it out and set up a tableau to inspire inspiration. So, for example, like if you have like a fold up barn or a fold up, you know, dollhouse or something, take it off the shelf, put it in a, in the play area and set up some of the little people and the little animals to kind of set something up already. And that could encourage their imagination when they go to it, instead of it just being kind of like stuffed on the shelf, you know, closed up in the characters in a different container. Like that's how it is in our playroom, right? We just kind of have stuff away. And I'm always like, why don't they play with that stuff? And it's like, well, it's again, like you said, with cleaning up, I think a lot of times it's too many steps. Like they have to think, what do I want to do? Oh, I see that barn. I have to get the barn. I have to take it down. I have to go find the animals. I have to set up the animals. But if you give them a starting point, it gets them going. And the same with puzzles. She's like, I'll set out a puzzle. But if I say to my kid, hey, here's a puzzle you can do, they won't do it. So what she does is she sets out the puzzle and then does like two pieces or three pieces. Like she puts them together. So it's started. And that is like a good entryway for the kid to come discover that and want to continue going. So I thought those were really good ideas.
Like setting the scene.
Yes.
Yeah, like setting the scene for them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I'm going to try that because I can see how that would spark the imagination more than like random toys shoved in the corner would.
Yeah. Which I realize really is part of our problem. Just we just have our toys on shelves and in bins, and in my mind they're very organized, but the kids probably don't really understand how it all goes together and stuff. So I haven't tried this one yet, but I'm really excited about it. I'm gonna try it.
Yeah, me too. Okay, we will have to check in on that one because I'm gonna try it too.
Okay, cool. You have another one for us?
I do. Okay, this is a me, as in a mom hack, a mom hack for moms.
Ooh.
If you will. And this is something I stumbled upon the other night, and I just could not believe I hadn't done this before. Like, I don't know why my brain had never taken this leap before. And maybe I'm going to say it and everyone's going to be like, yeah, we've been doing this all along. Like, what's wrong with you? But just in case, I'm going to mention it because it kind of revolutionized my life, which is if you put a shower cap on, you can wear your AirPods, like wireless in the ear headphones, in the shower.
Oh.
And like listen to podcasts and audiobooks while you shower.
That's amazing. But then your hair doesn't get clean.
Yeah, but see, I don't wash my hair every day. Like, I don't, because, you know, I dye it and like, I just, sometimes I just don't want to go to bed with wet hair because I usually take a shower at night.
Uh-huh.
So like, I was going to be wearing a shower cap anyway. And I was like listening to a podcast and I was like, man, I really want to find out how this podcast ends, but I have to get in the shower. And I was like, wait a second. They're wireless, you know?
Right.
Obviously, you have to be careful because if your shower cap isn't very good, I guess it could get wet. But but now I'm just like, awesome. I can listen to my audiobooks and podcasts. Like, I'm sure our listeners, many of them feel like we do, like just love podcasts. So I never have time really to listen to them. Like, one of the weird like ironies of making your own podcast is that you get less time to listen to other podcasts because you're
true.
Like, yeah, because I'm like editing audio and stuff. I can't like just work and listen to a podcast. My work now requires my ears. So yeah, in the shower with the shower cap on.
I love that idea. Also, you could get, if someone doesn't have wireless AirPods, you could get a wireless speaker. Steve has a couple of these wireless speakers, and he'll bring that into the bathroom and listen. He likes to listen to music and stuff. I don't know if I could listen to a podcast like that, though, like through the shower and stuff. I think I would like it better, like directly into my ear holes.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to try it.
Yeah, the white noise of the shower might make it hard to hear. So, but anyway, okay. So that was my mom hack for moms.
Brilliant. Now I have a use for all the shower caps I bought for my 9-month-old to keep food off her hair that didn't work. Now I can use them for this.
There you go. All right. What's your next one?
My next couple are food related. So this one is about mac and cheese. My kids love mac and cheese. Do your kids like mac and cheese?
Depends. Yes, most of the time. Like anything with Augie and food, it's like, oh, this is this very reliable thing that he always eats, except for Tuesdays, apparently, or whatever. Like,
right.
So, yeah, most of the time he loves mac and cheese.
Actually, I should say Elle likes mac and cheese. Cece doesn't, so.
Oh, because she wasn't, like, eating dairy for the longest time, right?
Right. And maybe she just never developed the taste for it. I don't know. But regardless, we do have it a lot in our house. And one of the things that's always bothered me about mac and cheese is that you have a lot of leftovers, but reheating mac and cheese leftovers is horrible. It sucks. Like, it doesn't taste the same. It's like dry because the noodles absorb all of the liquidy stuff, you know, while it's in the fridge and you stick it in the microwave and it's just like, blah, it's no good. Yeah. So I'm sure if you Google this, you could probably figure out a way to do it too. But I just like devised my own way to revive mac and cheese and thought I'd share.
Oh, great. Of course.
Yes. So I buy an extra box of mac and cheese or just use an extra one that we have on hand, open it up, rip open the cheese packet, and put a little bit extra cheese into the mac and cheese and put a little milk into it, maybe a little bit more butter, just something to like moisten it up. But the key really is that extra cheese, you know, the cheese powder, and heat it up like that and stir it up and it feels and tastes fresh again. It's like you kind of got to waste a 99-cent box of mac and cheese kind of to do it. But once you open that packet, you can like, you know, fold it up and reuse it for a future mac and cheese and then use the noodles for something else, marinara or butter noodles or something like that.
Yeah, you can always use noodles. Like,
yeah.
they're not going to go to waste.
Exactly.
That's a hot tip.
So that has revived our mac and cheese game.
Awesome.
All right. So do you have one more for us?
I do, but do you want to take a quick break and then come back with our last two what the hacks?
What the heck? Let's do it. We're back, and Laura is going to treat us to her last what the hack mom tip. Okay, what is it?
Okay, so my final what the hack is something you actually know about because I told you about this months ago, and I like kind of had forgotten about it until you reminded me about it today.
I love it.
Which is a hack for getting sunscreen on little baby and toddler and small child faces. Which is always a pain in the ass, right?
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
And we live in Southern California where the sun is bright all year round and we need sunblock. So my tip was to get a foam makeup brush or you're like foam, what do they even call them? Like a makeup applicator.
Oh, a makeup wedge.
Wedge. Oh, yeah. So like there's wedges. I also, you know, those like spherical ones with a little point at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I've used those too. Like any kind of foam makeup applicator will work. And to put your liquid sunblock on that and then use that to apply sunblock to your little small adorable child's face.
Mm-hmm.
And it works great for Augie. How does it work for your girls?
Yeah. When you told me about that a while back, I definitely started using that tip. And I think it's great. They like it better. They think it's interesting, you know, that something mm-hmm. new is coming out and towards their face. And what I really love about it is it's a lot easier to get the sunscreen under their eyes, like mm-hmm. without kind of accidentally pushing sunscreen into their eye. Like that's always the hardest spot for me to get sunscreen, especially on Elle. Like she'll come home from school sometimes and like just like the little circle under her eyes will be red. And I'm like, oh my God, did I have sunscreen?
No.
And so this, it makes it easy because it's kind of a fine point triangle and mm-hmm. I can just kind of push it up under there and it makes it a lot easier. So I think it's a great tip. And I thank you for sharing it with me way back when.
Well, the other thing is, like you mentioned, they think it's more interesting, more fun. Like when you're putting it on with your fingers, they squirm away and they're like, no. But this is like, oh, cool. Like the ones we have are pink and purple. So like Augie thinks it's cute and fun, like that there's a little like foam thing coming towards his face. He thinks it's funny. So
yeah,
that is my last hack to share with y'all. It is the middle of winter in the Northern Hemisphere, but maybe our Australian listeners will appreciate that one.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Shauna, do you have one more for us?
I do. These are, well, this, it's a twofer, just because they both have to do with eating. They're really quick and I wanted to share. So the first one is I ran into a conundrum at dinner recently because we were having burritos for dinner. And my kids could not eat their burritos without all the shit falling out the bottom.
Yeah.
And they're like picking them up and they're so awkward, especially Cece. She's like picking it up and stuff's going everywhere and they're getting frustrated. And I'm like, God, I wish I had like a way to keep this burrito together. And the first thing I did was Google like a product for this. It's so ridiculous. And like there's this like $32 like burrito holder on some specialty website or something. And I was like, oh, this is so ridiculous. And I don't know if I saw it, if I ended up just coming across this idea online or just remembering how I eat burritos out in the world, like at Chipotle, they wrap the burrito in foil. And I was like, oh, my God, I'll wrap the bottom of the burrito in foil, make a holder, and then they can eat the top and like, you know, unwrap it as they go down. And so it's a simple trick. We had it on hand, obviously, and the kids, it made it a lot easier for them to eat their burritos.
I'm trying to imagine Augie eating a burrito, and I just don't think he'd put it in his mouth. Like, we can't even get him to eat tacos. Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's, yeah. It's
burritos are so
anyway.
Good. Anyway.
Burritos
well,
so
maybe.
Good. Maybe I'll try. Maybe I'll try. What do you put in burritos for Cece?
I will cook up some ground turkey or chicken with like a taco seasoning and mm-hmm. then add in cheese, onion, tomato, olive, that kind of stuff. They love them.
I might just go with like meat and cheese and see what happens.
Start simple. Mm-hmm.
Start simple.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay. Well, maybe he'll like this next one. Okay. If he doesn't burritos. The next one's really quick. This one, I've got to give it up to Cece for this one. She came up with this all by herself. They've really been into eating yogurt lately, and she, I don't know why she came up with this. Either she was like having a hard time with her spoon or just wanted to get creative. She went into the kitchen, grabbed a straw out of the drawer, came in and started like slurping up her yogurt through the straw. And I was like, that's crazy. That's not going to work. And like, it totally worked. Like, she slurped up her whole little bowl of yogurt, and Elle was interested in this idea too. And she started doing it. And let me tell you, it's a much cleaner way for kids to eat yogurt. Because usually, you know, Cece will take a spoon up to her mouth and it drips and it just goes everywhere. Yeah. And she just sucked it right up. So there you go.
See, we do Greek yogurt, like the really thick Faye Greek yogurt. And I don't think it would go through a straw. Maybe
this
a boba
was Greek
straw.
Yogurt. This was Greek
really?
Yogurt. Really? Mm-hmm. Huh. It was chobani, I think.
Oh, chobani is thinner than Faye. Well, trust me, we've been on a... I know all about the different Greek yogurt brands and the thickness because Augie does not like chobani. Augie only likes Faye.
Oh my gosh. So specific. Mm-hmm. Well, just get yourself a boba straw and that'll probably do the trick.
Yeah, I will. All right. Well, that's a good tip because yogurt is messy AF.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that wraps up our mom hacks. Shall we move on to our BFPs and BFNs?
Yeah. Okay, so we close every episode with a big fat positive or a big fat negative of the week. Shauna, what do you got for us this week?
I have a big fat positive.
Yay! Okay, let's hear it.
So this is an author that I've come across that I enjoy following and reading her blog on Substack. Her name is Virginia Soul Smith, and she's... Do you know of her?
I just started following her too, and I love her.
Love her. Oh, good. I'm glad you know about her too. Okay. So she's the author of the book, The Eating Instinct, and the forthcoming book, Fat Kid Phobia. And I have subscribed to her blog or newsletter on Substack. It's called Burnt Toast, and it's at virginiasoulsmith.substack.com. I also follow her on Instagram. And here's what she says in her about copy. Burnt Toast is a twice-a-week newsletter about how we navigate diet culture and fat phobia, especially through parenting. But non-parents like it too, she says. And I just think this is such an important topic in raising kids, especially girls, because I feel like diet culture and that this kind of stuff really affects girls and women. Mm-hmm. And I, since they were born, I've been doing my best to just teach them body acceptance. I never talk to them about the size of my body, weight, eating, I never call foods bad or good, really trying to encourage them to just eat in balance and stuff. And I really love reading stuff about authors and writers about this kind of stuff, about how to talk to kids about food. So here are a couple of examples of articles in her archive that I think are really great.
Yeah, I'm with you on this. I don't know if our listeners have picked up on this. I'm guessing they probably have, but we actually have pretty strong beliefs and feelings about talking about diet and weight and all that stuff on this podcast. Mm-hmm. And we won't accept advertisers who promote weight loss or any of that bullshit, for lack of a better word. So we, you know, I really feel like Virginia Soul Smith is like perfectly made for us. We got to get her on the podcast. This is what I'm getting to, basically. We need to interview her because she is like right in that intersection of talking about diet culture and fat phobia and parenting. And it's like, give me more of it. Like, I just love it. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Here are a couple examples of articles in her blog that I think are really great. This one's titled Family Says the Silent Part Out Loud. And the subheading is On Navigating Body Talk, Food Shaming, and Perfectionism at the Holidays, which is perfect for this time of year. Like, we mm-hmm. get together with other members of the family, you know, who might not be on the same page with us about how we talk about food, or how we, in my family, at least try not to pressure the girls to eat a certain amount of stuff mm-hmm. or certain things, and like how to kind of handle all of that. I think that's so great. Here's another one. The title is What to Do If Your Kid Gained Weight During the Pandemic. And the subheading is nothing, period. It's still nothing, period. Yeah. And she goes on to talk about that kind of stuff. So, you know, I learn a lot from her, and her Instagram is great. She's on Twitter, too. I think her Instagram is sharing a lot of her Twitter tweets. Oh, my God, I'm old.
Twits.
Tweets.
The twiddles on those Twitter.
Oh, someone help me.
I wonder if she has a TikToks as well.
Oh, boy. I love how I just age myself so much on the show when I try to talk about the social medias. Oh, God. But she's awesome. We definitely need to try to get her on the show. And everyone go follow her right now. Subscribe to her Substack. I think you'll really love what she has to say.
Yes, I agree. I endorse this message.
Yay. Okay, you're up. What do you have for us this week? BFP or BFN?
I also have a BFP.
Yay.
Yay. So my BFP is kind of related to my check-in. It's like an all Augie kind of day. Mm-hmm. But it's part of his new, you know, leap into more maturity and just kind of a smoother sailing time, at least for right now. Who knows what's going to happen as he approaches three. Mm-hmm. But he is suddenly really good at building things with like blocks and magnetiles and stuff.
Oh, cool.
And so that's my BFP, because for the longest time, it was kind of something in the back of my mind that I was a little worried about, to be honest, because there are all these things. And like, even when they're babies, like they stack two or three blocks on top of each other or whatever. And he has had like zero interest in actually building things mm-hmm. until now. Right. He's what, 2 years and 10 months. So he's like almost three. And I was like, mm-hmm. is this just like, is he not like, is there something I should be worried about here? Mm-hmm. But then like all of a sudden he's building all these structures, and we have these giant blocks. Do you know what I'm talking about? They're like, I don't know, 12 inches across or something in one direction.
Like blocks or like Legos? Because we had like huge giant Legos.
No, blocks. They're like made out of cardboard, and you like have to fold them into this origami to get them to work right. Mm-hmm. My mom bought a ton of them for us at some point, and we had put a few together. He didn't care about them. And then we finally put some more together, and he is suddenly making these like complex structures out of them. I just sent you a picture of something he made.
Oh, very cool. Looks like a little house and a chimney or something. And he looks so proud.
He looks so proud, doesn't he? That's the thing. It's like, he knows that he's doing a good job, and it's just so fun to see.
Uh-huh.
And it also means that Christmas and holiday presents are a lot easier to figure out, because basically I want to get him more magnetiles.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like a sub BFP for the week. I scored 20 pounds of Duplos from my mom's group.
What is that like the volume equivalent of? Like a U-Haul box? Two boxes?
So it was delivered to me in one of those big like drawstring bag things. It's like a 6 foot across drawstring bag that was zipped up and completely full.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
And I got it for $30.
Nice. Very nice.
I'm going to sort through all of those and just like take out any really bad, you know, like gross sticky pieces or something. And that'll be like the big chunk of his Christmas present, I think.
Oh, cool. He's going to love it.
Yeah, but it's fun to see his little imagination go and actually building things, you know, from scratch using open-ended toys, like, you know, all the Montessori teachers want you to. So,
right. You know, it really just goes to show how so many milestones you have to be flexible with, because it might not necessarily be that the child can't do it, but more that they're just not interested in it yet. Like,
yeah.
he probably could have physically done that, but just wasn't ready for it because he just wasn't interested.
Well, and I feel like it's just another lesson, I think, for everyone that they all sort of do things at their own pace.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I get a lot of like anxious questions from parents that I meet when they hear Augie talk. Like, we'll go to my gym and he'll be like spewing off these ridiculous sentences talking about Star Wars or whatever. And I inevitably get someone saying like, how old is he? Wow, his speech is so clear. Wow, like, when did he start talking? I get these very detailed questions from parents and you just can tell it's from a place of worry, you know, like my kid's not talking like that. And every time I'm like, he's not a person to compare against. Like, he's precocious in this. He has never put together a puzzle. You know what I mean? Like, he does his own thing. This is just the one that very, like, very audible, very clear thing that people kind of latch on to. But, like, everyone develops at their own pace, and that's fine. So
absolutely. And it's a good reminder for me, too, because that is an area for me with Cece I've always been anxious about, right? Especially because Elle was more like Augie, very verbally precocious, speaking in sentences, telling stories, and doing so much verbally at this age that Cece doesn't do yet. And I hear about Augie, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, you know, is Cece okay? But then I'm like, you know, she was fully getting herself dressed at 2 years old, doing puzzles, doing all these other things. So you're right. It's just like they do things in their own time and it's okay.
She eats burritos. I mean,
yes, she's advanced gastronomically. Is that how you say that word? I don't know.
Gastronomically?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
they're all okay.
But anyway, that's my BFP.
Awesome. Yeah. I love it.
They're all okay. The kids are all right. And I think we're all right to close this episode down.
I think so. Well, Laura, we started something last week that I love, which was reading a 5-star review from one of our listeners. Do you think we could do that again this week?
Heck yeah.
All right. Okay, I have one for you, Laura. This is great.
Okay.
The title of the review is Love the Candid Conversations. And this is by Christy. 5 stars. Thank you for having real and candid conversations about TTC all the way to nesting. Your positivity gives the TTC hope.
Aww. Thank you, Christy, for leaving that review.
Yeah.
We're so happy to have you listening. And listeners, you can also leave us a 5-star review. Shauna?
That's right. Leave us a review at Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. There's a rating and review section. We so, so, so appreciate it. And we definitely want to keep sharing these positive reviews on the show. So please send yours in and we might read it on the show. Also, do you have any mom hacks that you want to share with us? You know we want to hear them. Laura, where can they reach us?
We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at BFP Podcast. We have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. If you want to send us an email, you can always throw a voice memo. Just attach it to that email. We love them to contact at BigFatPositivePodcast.com. And finally, if you want to join a super cool group of people on the internet, search Big Fat Positive Community on Facebook, request to join, answer the membership questions. We'll send you straight through.
Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.